Great Scott!
And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, March 24th, 2018. It is Season 12, Episode 11. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
He's excited, folks.
All right. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-2729-228, 334-2729-228. Man, Nabokov fan is in the chat room. I have not seen that name in, he says it's about four to six years ago, maybe?
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been a long time. It's been a really long time since he's been in there, man.
It's been a while.
Yes, it has. Welcome to the show, everybody. You can go to ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. Let me do this real quick. It's the thing. Hey, look at there. All right. You can also email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We are streaming right now on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv, type in InGameChat in the little search bar at the top when you get to Twitch. And then you'll be able to find us. You just go to ingamechat.net and click on the links. They're all over on the left side of the page. And you'll see one for Twitch. Click on that, and then you can watch us live while we broadcast. We are gonna, I don't know... It doesn't matter. It's going to be easier to watch or listen to next week's episode. I don't think it matters either way.
Watch it.
Yeah, I don't think it matters either way. So you're not going to get anything special by watching it over listening to it. So, you know, just continue to do what you do. It's not going to leave. We're trying to not leave anybody out of next week's episode. And, of course, next week's episode is the D&D episode, the Dungeons & Dragons episode that we're going to do. So we are going to talk about that more coming up at the final segment of this show. We've got our character sheets ready to go, and we worked on them last night, or not last night, we worked on them last week last after week. The show. We went downstairs and rolled for stats, and or at least filled out the rest of it. We rolled for stats on the air and found out the dice are very loud over a microphone. But, you know, we got everything else filled out on our character sheets, and so...
Just filling out little details here and there.
Right.
Yeah. We got to finish that off before next week, though.
Yes. Yes, we do. And our Game Master will be here at, like I said, final segment of this episode. So we can go over more stuff. I think he wants to get into some story details.
Yeah, basically background traits. I'm looking at the sheet here. This is the personality traits, ideals, bonds, flaws, things of that nature.
Yeah.
Alignment more than anything else. More than anything else, really.
So we're going to have that. We're going to do that at the end of, you know, towards the end of this episode. So we got that covered. The other thing is that, I don't know, we got some games to talk about that we've played. And I want to go around the room and talk about what we've played, but I want to skip Sea of Thieves for the time being. I want to leave Sea of Thieves as its own thing. Yes, Matt and I and James and Jeremy and Kevin... And I think Nate has dipped his toe into it as well.
Sarah as well.
Has Sarah done it?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if Sarah had done it or not. I hope she didn't buy it.
I don't... No, I think she's doing the...
Is she doing the Game Pass?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that, too. That's the way you want to go, by the way. And we'll discuss that. Yeah. Yeah, we'll discuss that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, as far as the games that we played this week... by the way, none of this... We're going to have any of this stuff next week. Next week we're going to open the show with, you know, the date and the episode number and the list of names in the room
and the clacker.
But yeah, we'll do the clacker as well. But after that, It's straight into gaming. It's straight into
D&D.
Yeah, it's straight into the D&D. Not going to give out the phone number. We're not going to take calls. In fact, there's a thing on here, I think. Boop. That didn't do it. Hey, there's a button that says busy. I'll press it. Ah, look at there.
Look at
see? We'll just block off the phones, too.
Or just ignore them.
No, I don't want people to call. I'd rather them, you know, not just let it ring and ring and ring when they know we're in here. But yeah, so...
It'll be like Halloween all over again.
Yeah. Nice.
But yeah, so...
People think you're home and don't answer the
We're just going to go straight into it next week. So something that you can look forward to there is not a lot of this rambling that I'm doing. So anyway, let's go over the games that we played. I have played Burnout Paradise. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I played more of that last week. I streamed some of that last week.
Yeah.
And I played it all, you know, I played it Sunday, and then I played it on Monday, and then I didn't touch it since then because I've been doing Sea of Thieves. But
good to be back in Paradise City.
Oh, it's fun. It's fun again. It's always fun. It's nice to do. I haven't gone online with anything yet. I'm up to getting my A license. I think I've got my A, maybe, I don't know if I've gotten my A license or if I'm working on my Burnout license. I can't remember. I think I have something like 40-some-odd wins to complete, 40 events to compete, to complete, and then I'll get whatever license is next. And I think that's my Burnout. But then you got to get your Elite, and then you got to get your Criterion Elite, which is just so much more on top of every, it's just like everything. So, and I plan on doing it. It's nice to have. Bought it digitally, so I don't have to switch out discs or anything like that. It just, I might be watching Netflix or something and decide I want to watch. I want to play Burnout, and then I will just go and I will do the Burnout. So yeah, but that's really all that I've played. I really haven't played anything else. I earlier before the show here was playing Professor Layton.
I like those games.
Well, it's the one where you're playing his daughter on the 3DS, and I solved my first case. Like, that was an ongoing thing since coming back from San Antonio. I played it a little bit on the plane coming back from San Antonio. And then I've just played it piece by piece by piece by piece. And so I finally solved case number one. I don't know how many are actually in the game, but...
Have you done the Ace Attorney versus Professor Layton?
No, I was never a fan of Ace Attorney.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I liked them both.
I didn't like Ace Attorney because it was too much backtracking. I played the very first one.
Okay.
And it was a lot of go here, talk to this person, go here, talk to this person. Maybe I missed something. Let me go back and talk to this person again. I didn't like any of that stuff. And then when you found new clues, when you found something else out new, you'd have to go back to some of the other people that you talked to because you had new information and had to go over that again. And then when they gave you new information, you had to go back and kind of go through the loop again, you know, to talk to everybody that you knew.
Because I played a little bit of the Ace Attorney, Professor Layton, and it was a good combination of the two, in my opinion, where it wasn't as much as the backtracking like that. It was, you know, Ace was there, but, you know, you start off as more about Professor Layton.
Yeah, well, Layton gives me my...
Your puzzles?
Pure puzzles.
Yeah.
You know, that's what Professor Layton gives me, and that's what I enjoy the most. Man, it's so good to have Nabokov fan in the... We haven't seen him here in forever! Yes, I remember that last time I was around, it was E3 2014. He was at the Uplay Lounge. He met up with me, for about 15 minutes while recovering for the next day. I remember meeting him at the Uplay Lounge. By the way, that's the only time I've been to the Uplay Lounge. I have not been back to that thing since. They had it, I think, in other times that I'd been, but I did not attend. And then of course I haven't been to E3.
In a while
either, so I've taken that off of my trip list, and I've kept it to PAX in San Antonio and PAX in Seattle. Those are fun. I still enjoy them. Both of those are fantastic cities. L.A. is crap, and I have no desire. Like, the only reason to go to L.A. was to go to E3. There was nothing else around there for me to enjoy or do or see or do anything with.
Different opinion about LA, but yeah, okay.
Oh, it's horrible, man. When was the last time you'd been there?
It's been just a couple, 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. What were you over there for?
Visiting family.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. I remember you saying you were going over
there. That's where my family's from, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for me, I have like more, you know.
But that's not where you didn't grow up there or anything, did you?
Didn't grow up there, but I mean, like I was up there enough, you know, with the aunts and uncles and grandparents.
Where in L.A.?
Really, actually, Anaheim.
Okay, that's right much different.
It's right outside of L.A., but we would go to L.A.
It is,
a lot.
But it's different. I mean, it's honestly.
You know, and I've been to L.A. enough.
Yeah, L.A. is like.
Huge.
It's like the armpit. And you were on, like, you were getting close to the elbow, maybe, or, you know, outside of the armpit, so things were nice. But, like, L.A. is just crap. Yeah. L.A. and Hollywood are both horrible. They really, really are horrible places. Well, I wouldn't say they're horrible places in such as, well, L.A. is a dump. Hollywood, however, is, there are nice parts to it. But as soon as you step out of the nice part, which, like, the Dolby Theater in L.A., really, really nice-looking theater.
Yeah.
But as soon as you, like, walk out of the presence of that theater, I think across the street is where Jimmy Kimmel does his show, mm-hmm. from the Dolby Theater. But that whole place, like, on the outside of it, is trash.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And then, like, but as soon as, like, you step back in to the building or the property of those things, it's like nice and everything. It just they do everything they can to shield you from seeing everything outside, because it is kind of a dump. The Man's Chinese Theater, where they do all those premieres and stuff, is when they do camera angles for that thing,
they have to be very specific.
They make it very tight so that you don't see anything sitting next to it because of everything that is shut down and graffitied on the side. So
I am very, you know, I realize I have my blinders when it comes to like certain things like L.A. or Disney and stuff like that. Like I revert to that childhood, you know, mentality of, you know, like, yeah, it's what I remember, for, you know, comfort in a way.
Yeah.
And I know, yeah, L.A. is what it is.
Uh-huh. But, you're listening to the Travel Channel here on News Talk 93.1.
Next, we'll talk about Barcelona.
Never been. Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I'd like to go to Prague, too.
Been there.
I would love to go to Prague.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Beautiful. While I was there, I went to Terezin, one of the concentration camps. But, yeah.
Yeah,
joys of living in Europe.
I know. I went to London for a week, and I really, really wish I had done something better with my time than...
London's nice.
Yeah.
I like it. Paris is beautiful.
I need more than a week to be in London, I can tell you that.
For that, just in general, just the UK. Because, you know, once you're there, you could easily travel anywhere on the rails.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Which I did. I went up to Oxford. Saw a friend of mine there, and she took me around the...
That's when you went to Criterion, right?
That is when I went to, that, which is in Guildford.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also, I took another train to go to Guildford as well. But I took a train to go to Oxford... And she took me around the campus and took me into some pubs and things like that where it's all, like, old. Found an old prison that had been turned into a hotel. Found a Krispy Kreme donut shop made entirely out of glass.
Okay.
Like, it looked like what you would see an Apple store. Just made entirely out of, the front was all glass, everything, but it was a donut shop. Yeah, it was really fun there, and then went back to the hotel, and then I think next day or 2 days I got back up and went to Guildford, and that was interesting to see. I didn't see much of Guildford because there isn't actually much to see of Guildford. There's a downtown area, and that is pretty much it. But that's where I got to visit Criterion Studios. Again, it's one of the reasons I hold such a affinity for Burnout is that I got to meet the people that also worked on the game.
One-on-oneness. You know.
Yeah, I got to visit where the game was made. I mean, I'd been a fan long before I ever got that trip, but the trip was, you know, that was something I could not pass up. I just couldn't pass it up when they offered it to me. So anyway, I played Burnout. I've enjoyed it. I will get back into it. And I also played Sea of Thieves, and we're going to get into that conversation here in a bit. RJ, what about you?
Played some more Street Fighter V, had some more matches online, still trying to build up my my level in there. So I've gotten to Super Silver now. I know it's been a... I should be up to a much longer than that, but I just haven't played as much. When I compare the amount of people who've played, the amount of games they've played compared to mine, yeah, it's pretty distant. So I'm like at 850, and looking at my friends list, they're in the like 10,000s right now.
Wow.
So yeah, so they've been playing a lot more than I have, so it's understandable why I'm so far behind. Also played a little bit of King of Fighters 14. Did some combo practice in that recently. Had a good time with that. Was remembering how fun it was getting those long, lengthy, high damage combos off in that one. Also played a little bit of Destiny 2. Had some
that's
had
still
some,
around, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still around. Had some faction rallies going on, so I tried to see if there was anything interesting I could pick up with some of the coins and tokens there. There wasn't.
Yeah, so, of course not. Of course there wasn't.
So I left it alone after that. After that point.
No, man. The Destiny 2, and in fact the Reddit community for Destiny 2 has dropped significantly as well. People have stopped visiting the subreddit there. It's just it's
stagnant. Stale.
It is. It honestly is, and it's
and anything you wanted to get, you probably got by now.
It needs it. There's a lot that needs changing, and it's not just it isn't just us. It's they're losing. I don't know if they're losing any kind of revenue. I don't know what they're. You know, if the player base is to be believed, everybody says I don't play it anymore. Don't play it anymore. Mm-hmm. But they've got to be making some money somehow. I haven't heard any, and not that they would ever release that or ever sort of make a press release that states that, but I haven't heard anything to the effect of revenue has dropped in the Destiny ecosphere, whatever, that Bungie hasn't lost money. So I don't know. It's possible that they have, and they just haven't released it, but if everybody who says that they're not playing this anymore or that they've given up on the game is actually doing that, and not spending money in Eververse, and not paying for massive collector's editions that they never should have bought, then that hopefully that tells them that they're doing something wrong. I would hope so. Their streamer presence has died significantly. Some of the top streamers on Twitch who were playing not only Destiny 1 for a very, very, very long time and kept playing it for a very long time, but also Destiny 2 have stopped. They've moved on. They've found other things. And I think it was Forbes or Eurogamer, maybe. I can't remember which one of the publications did some interviews with the streamers like, why aren't you playing Destiny 2 anymore? And they gave their, you know, they gave their reasoning as to why they'd moved on to other things. And it wasn't because there's new things to play. It was the reasoning behind it was because Destiny 2 had lost
the fun,
lost its appeal to me to play it. I couldn't keep doing that. I couldn't keep going through the thing. There's nothing there for me to do. There's nothing there for me to play. There is, a lot of the complaints that everybody else has been giving to Bungie about this, and if they listen to it, they listen to it. We'll see. They've got DLC number 2 coming out. I don't think it's April. I think it's in May. But it's relatively within the next 2 months. Then is when they're going to release that. So we'll see. I will probably step back in because obviously I've already bought the DLC when I got the collector's edition. Stupid things.
Yeah.
So I'll jump back in and take a look at it. But I don't know. I don't know what I'll do. If I'll stay with it or not and see where it goes or if they've improved anything. Yeah. I might get my fill out of the DLC and then say, all right, I'll wait until you guys come out with your version of Taken King that you did for Destiny 1, where things just got a complete overhaul and was much more fun to play. So we'll find out about that. Anything else?
Yeah, I was able to play MLB The Show 18.
You got the Steelbook for that, did you?
Yeah, Steelbook. Yeah. The All Rise Edition.
I mean, I kind of want that just because it's a Steelbook, but I don't want the money for that. It's a little bit high for me. Yeah,
well, that was the $100 one, but there was another version. I didn't see the MVP.
That comes with the Steelbook?
I believe it does. It comes with the Steelbook.
What's the MVP price? Do you have anything there for me?
Didn't have
anything
there for me. I'll have to pull it
up. Well, don't worry about it. I'll look it up. You go ahead and tell us about the game.
But yeah, I was only scratching the surface of it, but look, as always, it looks pretty good. But at this point, there's no excuse for any game not looking good at this point, but real. Like I said, I only scratched the surface, but from what I played so far, I'm enjoying it. It is baseball, but like I said, it's all sports games. It's not going to change much the game. The game is going to be pretty much the same.
$70 on that price, by the way.
$70 on that one. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, but I'm having fun with it. I was actually able to play a full game of baseball with it, and I didn't have any troubles or issues with it, and I was having a good time playing it. I'm a fan of baseball, so it's doing its things for me. I'm having a good time with it. I haven't gotten to the Road to the Show or Diamond Dynasty, but eventually I will, because you can pick up a lot of stuff through that, as always, through the same thing year after year. So I'll be doing that again and having a good time with it. Other than that, I had a little bit of taste of nostalgia. I found my PS3 and found out they had two of my favorite, one of my favorite EA games, Soviet Strike, on there, and I started playing that. These chopper. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Soviet Strike.
Yeah.
And they had a sequel to it, Nuclear Strike, that I never got to play. And that was available on the PS3 store as well, so I picked that up as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I downloaded that and installed it as well. So after I'm getting done with Soviet Strike, I'll probably jump right into Nuclear Strike.
Weren't those like sequels, upgrades, whatever, to Desert Strike from like the Genesis?
Yeah, I think so. Desert Strike.
Yeah, I remember that. All right, Matt, what about you? Outside of Sea of Thieves, because we know we played it. So outside of that, what else?
More Yakuza Kiwami.
Okay.
Still running around that and, you know, enjoying that game. Heard about they're releasing Yakuza Kiwami 2 here in the States, so that made me happy. Played a little bit more Hitman.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe one of the levels for Hitman is available free
level
right now.
Level 2.
Yeah. Which is Sapienza, their, you know, fake Italian city. Beautiful. I love the layout of that map.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually really nice. It's got, you know, some really good access, you know, for areas.
Is that free for just a limited time, or is it just free now?
I think
now?
It's for a limited time.
I think it is, yeah.
But, I mean, if anyone who's ever been curious about it, I would definitely say try it. I love that game. You know me. I talk about it.
We know you do.
I find it infinitely replayable and fun, you know, in a way that Hitman hasn't been for a while. Absolution was all right. I enjoyed Blood Money better, but mm-hmm. This one I really, really enjoyed. Other than that, waiting for Tuesday for Far Cry 5.
Mm-hmm. Well, fantastic. All right, well, we're going to take a break here coming up. What we want to talk about next, though, is we're going to go into the Sea of Thieves discussion. This was a game that was announced maybe at this past E3. E3 of 2017, I think. And it's sort of the return of a developer that was massive way back when.
Right. I mean,
they revived Donkey Kong with Donkey Kong Country, and then
were they the ones that did Primal Instinct? I mean, Killer Instinct?
Killer Instinct was Rare.
Rare, yeah. It is.
They did Killer Instinct. They did Banjo-Kazooie.
Uh-huh.
They did... Was it Conker?
Was it Conker's Bad Fur?
Yeah.
Conker's Bad Fur Day?
Yeah. That was Rare as well. Viva Pinata, Cameo. Rare has had Perfect Dark.
Oh, that was it. Yeah, good one.
Yeah, yeah. They have had a fantastic lineage of games that they have released, but then it all stopped, and I can't remember what killed them or what happened. But it just stopped with really doing anything, and this was a pretty big launch, and I want to talk to you about how I played the game, and well, actually how we're all playing the game, essentially, and also what it is like playing the game as well. I feel like there's not going to be a lot to say about. Oh wow! Sea of Thieves was announced at E3 2015. Wow, that's going way back. Goodness, yeah. Anyway, my thought. Yeah, well, what stopped? I know Microsoft bought them, but I thought they stopped for a while. I thought they hadn't made a game in a while. I guess because if it was June of 2015, they've been working on this since June of 2015.
I think after Microsoft bought them, they did that Perfect Dark Zero on the 360, right?
I can't remember when Microsoft bought them. I don't know. I can't remember what year that was that they bought them and what happened. But, yeah, gameplay was first shown at 2016. They were doing some Kinect stuff. Oh, that's probably the problem. Yeah.
That'll kill you.
Kinect went in the toilet fast. Actually, you know what? It had a pretty long run, Kinect stuff did. Because they were like...
The, you know,
they were like, make this work.
Yeah, and it lasted into, I guess, technically, the Xbox One era.
It did for, like, 2 months into the Xbox One era.
Still something.
Before they started offering the Xbox without the Kinect to drop the price. And when they realized more people were buying it without the Kinect, they're like, let's just kill the Kinect.
Yeah.
Which there's a company, and we talked about this, Harmonix, who got burned by that. They put a whole lot of resources into that Fantasia game because it was a Kinect-only title. And they released it, and then Microsoft said, yeah, we're going to do away with that. And I remember specifically a couple of tweets either from Harmonix themselves or from the developers at Harmonix who said, yeah, this was a surprise to us, and it's really brought the morale down in the company to hear that Microsoft has said, yeah, we're just going to do this. And because apparently they were promised the world. They were like, yeah, this is a thing. You're just going to keep doing this and have other way. And you know, they put all of their eggs into that basket.
Then came the hammer.
Yeah, it really, really did. And now they're making a card game, I think.
Yeah.
What is it? DJ Mix or DJ something?
Yeah.
That's DJ Max.
DJ Max, I think, is what it is. It's like a card game, but it's with it's like audio. I don't know, man. It's an app on your phone, and it's cards and all this other stuff. So, anyway, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we will have more about that. We'll take this phone call from probably Chris. Yes, we'll take this call from Chris when we come back after this break. Been doing themes the past week for music, but I also don't want to miss out when a new game releases and has music to play. This week was Sea of Thieves. There's only one theme you can go when you start doing that. So there really is
chickens,
right? There's hardly, you'll know exactly what it is, not necessarily after the first, but by the second, you'll know what the theme is. Anyway, here is music from Sea of Thieves. This is called Adventure Awaits. We'll be right back.
I was hoping it was Fly of the Bumblebee.
No.
No, wait, Ride of the Valkyrie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure where Bumblebee was coming from.
Wrong song.
No, I try to get original music, not.
They did their original spin on it.
Yeah, but it's not something that was originally written. And so I try to do originally written pieces. But anyway, we'll be right back after this. At some point. Seriously, why is this not playing? There it is. And welcome back to In-Game Chat here. Scott, along with RJ and Matt. This is music from a game called...
Not Monkey Island.
No. Pirates of the Burning Sea.
Okay. I think it's like on Steam for cheap.
Yeah, it may have been a PS2 game. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Pirates of the Burning Sea. Open Sea thing is what there was very little music to find from that. And no, Monkey Island is not in any of these.
And I'll keep on saying that every commercial break.
Yeah. Well, there is. That's a surefire way for me to not put anything in there if you want to keep doing that. But no.
Which Curse of Monkey Island is now available on Steam.
Yeah. I've got Monkey Island music, man. Because it used
everyone
to be on our,
should have a Monkey
it used to be on our regular rotation of stuff.
It
so I mean,
your
I've
heart
got
with
it.
Whimsy and joy.
Yours. But yeah. Anyway, welcome to the show. Let's go back to the phones real quick and talk to Chris. Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not a lot. Doing the show. What's going on with you?
Well, got done playing some of the other games. Now I got hooked back into playing Just Cause 3.
That's always a fun little sandbox to return to.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I did finish that game. I actually did beat that game. Yeah.
Did you put a rocket on a cow?
I mean, I put a rocket on everything you could, you know? Everything got a rocket. And then I, you know.
Isn't there an achievement for that?
I think 3 was like the highlight. 4 just didn't. Didn't
just
like
Cause 3 is the Saints Row 3 of the Just Cause series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's so much you could do and just goofing around and just having a blast doing nothing. Yeah.
It's like, where do you go from there? Where do you go with Just Cause 4?
I've seen some crazy experiments that people did with the rocket grenade, like with like in the hook shot, whatever.
The tether. Yeah,
the tether. And just like seeing things just like sort of like zip around. Yeah. Or I mean, like some of the physics on that was insane.
Yeah.
And fun.
It's a lot of fun to get into.
Oh, yeah.
What else? Anything else you've been playing?
That's it, pretty much that. And but collecting-wise, by the time we ever get together and have a show and tell again, I think just bringing that TurboGrafx system that I got and the games I've been getting for it will be more than enough to bring whenever that comes around. I don't even think I'll bring the Japanese Nintendo system. I've been getting a bunch of the TurboGrafx stuff, especially RJ. You remember playing any of the games for it on the years ago?
On the what? The
TurboGrafx 16.
I never had one, but I heard about many of the games in there. Bonk's Adventure comes to mind. Legendary Axe. Those two titles come to mind for that system.
Yeah, but they came in a big tall slender paper box, and then they had CD cases that actually held the games in there, and it's pretty hard to find the original paper box that goes on the outside that, you know, that actually held the piece of styrofoam and the game inside there.
Yeah.
And every time I found one I was looking for that had the original box and everything, I've been grabbing them up like crazy, and of course the funds the cost has been adding up, but
About those paper boxes you get them, are they in mint condition or I've got the age and wear and tear on there?
Some of them have some age and wear and tear on there, but you know, sometimes if they're so rare and like, you know, I can't believe that somebody has this, and you know, beside it being brand new or something for some unreasonable price, is that take my money, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember Yeast or YS3?
Yeah.
Do you remember that title?
Yeah, well, I found one of those with the original paper box, and I said, holy cow, I can't believe that. You never see those, especially these popular role-playing games with the original box. And I think, yeah, you know, he had our best offer, so we worked it out, and he, you know, came out pretty good, what I was expecting of the turnaround. You know, I lowballed him a little bit, and then he came back with, you know, halfway between what he originally wanted, what I offered, so.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I want that.
It's all about negotiation when it's collectibles, man.
Yeah.
It is. Good thing you found that, then.
Yeah, I've been finding...
Any other titles you were looking for in particular for the TurboGrafx?
I've just been looking for anything, you know, just browsing, you know, and looking like, you know, broadly like for just TurboGrafx and then organizing the searches from lowest cost to highest and just going through the whole thing. Oh, that looks neat. Watch, you know, keep just go down the list, and if I see something that I remember playing or looks pretty interesting, you know, yeah, shoot, no, I'll get that.
Okay, good deal, man.
All right, well, we appreciate you calling in, Chris.
All right, well, y'all have a good one.
Take care.
Take care,
man. Bye.
Okay, so, yes. Sea of Thieves.
Yes.
We're talking about this on Monday. I hit up James, and I was like, hey, are you still interested in Sea of Thieves? And he's like, Far Cry 5 is on the way, which I think comes out Tuesday.
It does.
It does.
Far Cry 5 is on Tuesday. He had interest in Ni No Kuni 2, I think. which got a Steelbook release, by the way. So he was interested in that, and you know, I don't think I swayed him from not getting Far Cry 5. I just told him, here's the reason I'm not going to get it, is because I just don't have the something about it just does not appeal to me to want to play it. It feels samey. Just very much routine Ubisoft stuff, you know. Here's your thing. You're going to go through and you're going to take over territories, and then you're going to, I don't know. There was a lot of stuff, and even when I played it, I all I wanted to do was go fishing. So I don't know. There was just some parts of it that I just didn't like. And then I'd watch some videos where they talked about what there is to do there, some of the AI problems that it has with your with not only the enemy AI but also your teammate AI type stuff. The co-op not being progressive on your side, or at least the guest side.
Yeah.
Like the...
Because I'll be a guest for Kevin.
Right, and you won't make any progress.
I'll have
you'll get your money.
On my own.
You'll get money, but you won't make any progress in your game when you're doing other stuff with somebody else. So, no, I totally get that. And he thought, yeah, you know what, I might skip that. But, you know, we were talking about Sea of Thieves, and then he's like, are you doing the Game Pass thing? And I said, you know, that's not a bad idea. Game Pass is a thing that Microsoft offers where $10 a month and you get access to like 100 or some odd games to play.
On the Xbox One, right?
And on Windows 10.
Are they all?
They're not backwards compatible
between
the two. No, but
like, are they all double where it'll be Windows and Xbox?
No. I mean, it's some of them are and some of them, if they have the ability to be on Windows, then they're available there.
So, yeah, like for the Windows.
So, for you guys on Windows 10, you're probably getting a lot less. Yeah. I don't know what the list is for Windows 10 users. But, I mean, you get some good stuff in there. I mean, you've got a lot of newer titles, and I want to say newer, but, you know, more modern things like Gears of War 4.
Kevin said that he was hoping to get all the, you know, five of the Halo games. I'm like, no, you're not getting that.
No, because some of them aren't on PC, but you do get, I think you get Halo Wars as part of it, which was that strategy game.
Maybe 5?
I think maybe Halo 5 is in there as well. I'd have to go and look. But no, it was actually really, really cool that you could do this and get, you just pay $10. Now, if you're on Xbox, if you're on the console, you've still got to have gold to do multiplayer with. So there's a fee on top of that. But if you're on Windows PC, you don't need gold. Mm-hmm. You can play for free multiplayer. Not a problem. But anyway, they've got a 14-day free trial. And Sea of Thieves is included in the list of games that are available. Sea of Thieves has cross-play between PC and Xbox. And so, yeah, we all went that way. We're like, no, let's not shell out the $60 for this thing, and let's just do this Game Pass thing, and we're golden.
Yeah,
so,
for 2 weeks, we could play it.
And that's exactly what we did, which I'm really glad we did, because this game is not worth $60.
Not at all. It there is some fun to be had in it.
That's the problem. It's a lot like talking about Destiny.
Some fun.
It's a lot like what we used to say about Destiny. We would complain for days, but we were like, I went back for the shooting. You know, they nailed the shooting. Sea of Thieves is an empty void of nothing, except on the surface. If you just don't go below the surface, you can get some enjoyment out of it. I don't know if you can get $60 worth of enjoyment out of it, but you know, this is clearly one of those things that if they still did it, you could say it's a rental.
Yeah.
Like maybe they do on Redbox anymore, but this is one of those, like, this is a total blockbuster title. You go to the movie rental place, you rent the game, you play it for a while, and then you return it. This is the epitome of that. Yes. Until they do more. And I think there's a lot more that they can do here. I think in almost every single aspect of this game, they haven't completely fleshed out. They fleshed it out enough to where it feels really good for a while until you realize, man, they could have done so much more.
I've got an article here from Ars Technica.
Yeah.
Let me see if you agree with this. This is the first line of an article written here. Sea of Thieves leaves a bewildering first impression, a magnificent second one, and so far, a disappointing lasting taste.
It really is. I mean, I always want to go back into it when everybody's playing, because it's fun to play with a crew of four.
Yeah, if you can like multi-crew a boat.
Yeah,
that's actually that's interesting.
Because you get your
the
assignments.
One guy steering.
You get a map. You go look for the map. Then you have to pilot your ship across.
People are
to
on
the
you know on the different rigs. You know, like with the sails and stuff like that. You know, and you're always
different
adjusting
tasks,
those.
Different jobs or whatever. Mm-hmm. Okay. Working as a team.
Last night, you know, me, Jeremy, and Kevin, we, you know, three people on a galleon, and we're just sailing around. We're doing that. There was like, we saw maybe like three or four ships.
Yeah.
The entire like hour or some odd that we were playing. You know, other people. There's like hardly anyone there. So.
Well, that's just the instance that you got thrown into.
Yeah.
Because as far as this, I think, what was it? Where is it? Sea of Thieves had 1 million players in its first 48 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's been longer than 48 hours.
I mean, it has. And I think that's the same thing.
I'm curious what the drop-off is going to be for that.
They'll probably never show us, but I would love to see some charts. I would love to see some statistics about not only the people playing that game, but
how sharp the drop-off is.
I would love to see that. But I want to see like how many Game Pass subscriptions increased the day before and the day of, or this full week, just to see
how many are going to get canceled.
How many Game Pass subscriptions just ticked way up, and then in 2 weeks after that 14-day period, how many, what the drop was in cancellations of that thing.
And like the first day I got it, I was going out solo, just trying to get a feel for the game and everything. Mm-hmm. And so I went out, picked up some treasure maps, went to the island, dug up the treasure, all that stuff, and I brought it back. And I ran across this, random person out in the world. So I'm like, waved to him and, got out my lute and started playing a song. And he was dancing, just trying to be friendly and stuff. And then, he ran off. And then I saw his ship, docked. And so I'm like, hey, I wonder if I could have some fun with this. So I actually snuck onto his ship and went up into the crow's nest and sat down. And he didn't see me up there. So he got his quest, got on a ship, and he went off sailing. And for about half an hour, I was just up there just watching him go on an island, get some treasure. Mm-hmm. He went to a buried ship, sunken ship, and, got, some more treasure. And then when he went back to the port to, sell the treasure off, he grabbed one of the treasure chests and he, got off his ship. As soon as he did that, I climbed down the crow's nest, grabbed one of his other treasure chests, and ran off and turned it in for myself because I was a pirate. So, there is fun to be had. I got my karma when I, last night when I was trying to turn in some treasure and I got jumped by two guys and they killed me and stole my money. But, other than that, it's just, I was asking about, you sell off your the treasure boxes and you get gold, right? Mm-hmm. And then they have stuff that you could buy, like, equipment, weapons, fashion accessories, all these kind of things. So I was like, is all of it cosmetic? Scott was saying, it's all cosmetic. Mm-hmm. So I could understand grinding, getting gold, getting better equipment. Shovel that'll allow me to dig faster, a gun that'll shoot better, sword that does more defense, stuff like that. I can understand that. If it's just cosmetic, what's the point?
Yeah.
To me, everything is what it is at the beginning, what's the point of any of it? So that's why I'm like, oh, all right. I mean, it's fun, but after this, 2 week trial, I am not going to stick with it.
No, and
so the fun wears off quick, basically.
It doesn't necessarily wear off quick.
If you get with your friends and you're all tooling around and challenging other people on boats and stuff like that, then that's fun. But the world itself, there are not really NPCs except for on a few islands. And they're the ones you get your quests from, you buy your equipment from, stuff like that. It's not a living world. It's either, the storekeeper, other players, or AI enemies. That's it. Yep. There's no, just people running around on islands and just, living their lives.
Well, everything, it's completely...
it's dead.
It's totally PvP. I mean, there is no... It's PvP... if they or you want it to be. In other words, there is no safe zone here. Mm-hmm. When you get off the ship at an outpost to drop off your loot, you are susceptible to attacks from other players if they want to be that way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they can, and we have been.
And it can be challenging if you have a hole full of treasure and you're trying to make your way back and you see people coming at you and you're like, oh, we spent a while getting all this stuff. We don't want them to take it. So you're like... that fight or flight kind of comes in? Do we like just go for the sails and try to outrun them? And
well, even then, I mean, we chased a ship. I don't think I don't know that you were there that night. I know it was me.
No.
It was
I haven't played with you yet.
Yeah, it was me and Kevin and James and Jeremy, and there was just this. There was this guy in one of those smaller ships. We were in a galleon. They were in a sloop, and we were chasing them down, man. And had a couple of good little back and forths, and then they went off, and we still chased, but they were going to an outpost, and they pulled in, and we pulled in on the other side of the island and started firing cannons over the island to hit their ship. Mm-hmm. And James told me, hey, get in this cannon. So I got in the cannon, which you can do, and he fired me across the island, and I landed on the ship. And I killed the guy.
No damage?
No. You don't have damage when you get shot from a cannon.
No.
When you get shot from a cannon, you do take fall damage out in the real out in the islands and everything else.
You take damage if you get shot from a friendly cannon, because I think Kevin shot Jeremy in the face by accident.
No, you don't take. Yeah, you don't take.
There's no friendly fire.
Yeah,
but
so getting shot
it does
knock
you around.
Doesn't hurt you.
It doesn't hurt you.
Yeah, you don't take damage from getting shot out of a cannon. If you're up on a rock and you fall, if you're up in the crow's nest and jump off,
or
you will take damage.
Accidentally
fall
step
damage.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
and they're sharks.
They fired me across. I landed on the guy's ship. I killed him. When you die, you go to the Ferry of the Damned or whatever, and you wait there for about, I don't know how long. I think it's like 20 seconds or so. You wait, and then you go back into your game, and it puts you right back on your ship if your ship is still available. So every 20 seconds or so after we killed the dude, we had to be ready for him to spawn back up while we were taking his treasure and everything else. So here it is, this solo player getting pretty much griefed by four other guys. And that is a thing that you have to contend with while playing this game. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I just think if you're a solo player, they should put you in servers or instances with other solo players. If that's a thing that they can do, you know? Not so that you can team up or anything like that, but so that you have a fair shot at and not getting griefed like that, like exactly what we did. He eventually quit the game, the guy did. And at that point, if you quit the game, your ship sinks, basically. Mm-hmm. There is no remnant left of your ship. It just slowly sinks if people are using it and that sort of thing. And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, we thought about that. And we're like, God, that's really, really horrible that can take place. So there is probably a list pages and pages and pages long that players of this game could come up with of they should do this, they should do this. And I think that's the case with any game. People have like, here's my dream list of things that need to be improved. But if you took the 10 pages of one player and matched it with the 10 pages of the other player or 500 other players, they wouldn't necessarily be in the same order, but I think every single thing would probably be on everybody else's list because there is so much that is not done. A game like this that is only so shallow has a massive need for more things to be put in. Why do you do this? Why do you play? What's your motivation? You go out and you get loot and then you bring it back and you turn it in and you get money. Okay, well, what do you do with the money?
Nothing.
You don't buy upgrades because there are none. You just buy new clothes or a fancy looking gun. Doesn't improve the gun that you already have. It just looks better.
Yeah.
You get another sword. Doesn't improve the sword that you have. Just looks better.
I don't think the ships don't get faster.
Nothing changes anything. It's all completely cosmetic. That is it.
It's a mobile game?
No.
Well, yeah, right?
The way you describe it, that's what it sounds like to me. Some little time waster that you don't invest too much time in. You know, just as long as the bus ride is, then there you go, you're done.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's very, you know, using water terms again, it's very shallow.
Mm-hmm.
The sailing on the ocean looks great, feels great. If this was more of a... What it really made me want is whatever Ubisoft is working on, Skull and Bones.
Skull and Bones.
It really made me want Skull and Bones to get further along in development. I don't know if that game is canceled.
I haven't heard much from it.
Can you look that up? It's a Ubisoft title called Skull and Bones.
It's basically they took their Assassin's Creed 4 and took out the Assassin and the Creed and the Abstergo and just like, let's just do a pirate, you know, thing.
But I love the fact that you have crew members who are actual players who manage the ship.
Yeah.
So, and that's something I hope that stays into it. But there's just a lot of things that are needed, and they're thinking about putting in a penalty for dying in the game, which is horrible. Why would you want to do that? Why would you want to punish players? In a game like this, I get it in almost any other game when there's progression of upgrades and all sorts of different things, but why would you ever want to punish players when there is nothing to gain in the game itself that has any sort of significance? You know? Mm. You're leveling up, but you're not really doing anything but maybe reputation. There is nothing to gain. Some of the missions get better.
But
where
then again, so you get more gold. What are you going to do with it?
I know. All you're going to do is buy more cosmetic items. That's it. That is all. And if something does change, and I really feel that it will, this is Rare and Studio, not a Rare thing. This is Rare Studios who did this. And we were looking at their previous game that they released was Kinect Sports in 2014. And they hadn't done anything. They did a Rare Replay, which is a really great title, by the way, if you've got an Xbox, Xbox One. Rare Replay, I think, can be had for like $10 or $15, and it comes with about 40 some odd games on it. It's fantastic. But there was nothing that they did with that game. They didn't put a lot of time into that because it was all their old titles put onto one thing. So they've been working on this game for a while, and it does feel like they haven't finished. It's not one of those games that feels like it's undercooked where it's like, oh, there's still bugs. It just feels like it's not yet finished. It still feels like you're playing a beta so that they've got more stuff to work out. And I don't mean bugs. I mean game mechanics. Mm-hmm. I mean more motivation. Instead of cosmetic upgrades, actual upgrades that gives you a better ship. Actual upgrades that gives you a better sword or a better gun, a better compass.
I want to be able to like dig faster.
You know? Better shovel. Any of these things.
Play different tunes on my accordion.
Well, that would be more of a cosmetic thing. But, you know, something...
That's an upgrade.
I understand. But something that advances what you already do. And nothing does. And nothing does right now. Mm. And it needs to. I think there would be more there. And I think eventually it will come. I'm not exactly sure. But it just doesn't feel like they are done with this game. And it's an interesting thing to say that it's not... There's some connection issues, and there's definitely some connection issues when you're trying to play console with PC. Mm-hmm. We've noticed that. Chat rooms and finding people online and that sort of thing, because I can't... for some reason, James not showing up is online, but everybody else does.
I think he does it on purpose.
From the sound of it, he doesn't know why, but...
But just in the Windows app, you know, the Xbox app connecting... You know, so if I'm in the game, I just can't go to like the pause menu, join, you know, someone else's game. I have to go back to the Xbox app, select the, you know, the person, the profile to join their game. It's just little things like that. I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, there's a lot. Again, I could have spent like the past hour to 2 hours telling you all the things that needs to be in this game. And also I will tell you this, if you can avoid it, don't buy it. Use the Game Pass. And there's a 14-day free trial for the Game Pass. Jump into that. Use the 14 days. Get the feel of it. This is such a shout. In fact, maybe you don't even want to do that. Why don't you hold off and jump into it around the time State of Decay 2 releases, which is in May. Another co-opable game, but it's more of a zombie survival thing. But it's a game that can be played co-op. It's a game that can be played cross-play between console and PC. And you'll probably get a lot more out of it. And when you're not doing that, you can jump into Sea of Thieves and give that a shot. This game is not worth $60. It is not worth $60 right now. There is no season pass that I know of with it. There's no in-game monetization. There's nothing there that you're going to spend more money on. They haven't introduced a store of some type. So there's no Steelbook edition available, but there is no real reason to
own it.
Actually own this game. So do the Game Pass thing. It is a much better option. Even if your 14-day free trial is already over with, you used it on something else, it's $10 a month. Spend $10, play this game for a month, and then unsubscribe so you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's the best way to go with this thing because, and it's hard to say that, it's hard to say, I can't tell you that it's a bad game because I do have fun playing it with Kevin and James and Matt and Jeremy, the group. Mm-hmm. I do have fun playing it with them, but, you know, when I'm done, I'm like, you didn't really do much.
You said it, you said it best at the beginning, you know, like off the air before we got on the show. It's an empty bag of chips.
Yeah, there's like chips at the bottom. You get to them, and those are great, but there was so much air that made it look full, and there's really not. The ocean dynamic stuff, the ocean stuff, it's nice. Fantastic. The way the ship moves, the way the wind works, it's great. That's fantastic. When it starts to take damage and you have to repair, it's all good there. The whole ship dynamic is great, and they need more of that.
Oh, by the way, Skull and Bones is still listed as fall of 2018.
That's good. Maybe we'll hear about it. Maybe Sea of Thieves will prompt them to be like, hey, we should show off some more of that stuff at our E3 presentation coming up this year. So anyway, we've got to go. We're way behind on the clock here. But when we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat. We got some news to go over as well. I think we're done on the Sea of Thieves talk. Again, there's not a whole lot to delve into unless I wanted to go through a wish list of things this game needs. And that's...
I want to be able to steal a boat.
You're right. You can't. Because they own the boat. Mm-hmm. Like, if you steal another player's boat, all he's got to do is swim out to a mermaid or a merman, whatever. And
person.
Yeah. They are there in case you fall off your ship for whatever reason, get stranded. They're there to put you back on your ship. So any ship that exists out in the world belongs to a person. So if you commandeer a ship, that person is either on that ship somewhere else but will show up on that ship later. And then you have to fight for it. If they log out, that ship sinks. So there is no stealing of ships. Why not?
It's a pirate game.
There should be a mini game or something that must be done, some kind of thing that must be done on the ship that will relinquish that ship from the previous player to you. You know? Make a dock like you did in GTA, a garage of some type where you park your ship and that's in your... That's in your list of ships. Mm-hmm. When you go to a dock and like, give me my ship, you get to choose from all these that you've stolen or whatever that you've brought back. There's a ton of suggestions like this that would make this that would make it worth the money to buy it and to own it.
I see in the chat room the comparison. Sea of Thieves from the gamer at me says Sea of Thieves feels like what No Man's Sky did when it launched.
Well, we had that idea. In fact, there's a couple of Twitter handles out there called No Man's Sea. And that's exactly kind of like what it feels like, except there wasn't as much hype going into this one as there was going into No Man's Sky.
Yeah, they didn't
have some developer throwing out lie after lie after lie. This thing got a beta that people played and streamed, and yeah, it wasn't like nobody saw this coming. We just wanted to see what it was like, and yeah. So anyway, when we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat after this. Again, going with the theme, here's music from Risen 2.
Not Monkey Island.
Yep. Risen 2 Dark Waters, it's the main theme. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Scott, RJ, and Matt hanging out here on this Saturday with music.
Now, this sounds like a sea shanty.
Yeah, it's a I think PS3 days. It's called Age of Booty. Yeah. No, there was a game called Age of Booty, and it was
sounds
about
like my weekend.
Really?
No.
Nice. Really?
I wish. No.
That's not FCC violation, is it?
It's not. It's just a decency violation, really.
I expect that phone to ring in a few minutes.
Nah, it's not. It's not going to ring.
I've been playing Sea of Thieves.
Yeah, it's not going to ring. Anyway, welcome back to the show. Apologize for Matt.
Show killer.
This is just him. This is just the kind of guy he is. Wait till next week when he gets to be creative.
I will be good.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
So let's go over a few of the news items that we had. Burnout Paradise topped the chart for the first time in 13 years.
Good on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
Maybe that'll light a fire under their...
I'm hoping
some more burnout.
I'm hoping that all the talk
like,
of
oh,
it...
Oh, hey, there's a need out here. There's a desire.
Yeah. Mm. I'm hoping that all that talk will do something for them.
Like a ground-up remaster of and remake of, like, Takedown.
It last hit number one with Burnout Revenge back in 2005. Paradise never hit number one.
Okay.
Until
now.
Burnout's best ever week of launch sales still belongs to Burnout 3 Takedown. Back in 2004.
That was a really good game.
But the top 10, this is in the UK, by the way. The top 10 was Burnout Paradise Remastered at number 1, mm-hmm. Kirby Star Allies at number 2, FIFA at number 3, GTA 5 at number 4.
Still?
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe was number 5, Mario Odyssey was 6, Battlegrounds was number 7, UFC 3 was number 8, Fallout 4 number 9. Fallout 4... Wow.
I mean, who's still buying GTA 5 and Fallout 4?
A lot of people, apparently. And then Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild at number 10.
Well, Grand Theft Auto 5 for the online play, I'm imagining. Fallout 4, maybe for the creation. Maybe the Creation Club is more popular there than here. Because I saw it like one time, like, nope.
Yeah.
I did everything I could in mm-hmm. Fallout 4, really. So I had no desire to go back for it. And the Creation Club just came too late. I guess.
The GDC Awards were held as part of GDC, and Best Audio went to Zelda. Best Debut went to the Cuphead guys.
Oh, good.
Studio MDHR for Cuphead. Best Design, Breath of the Wild. Best Mobile Game was Gorogoa. Gorogoa.
Okay.
Gorogoa. That also won the Innovation Award. It's a game that I played a little bit of at PAX South. I
haven't heard of it.
It's a nice little puzzle game that I'm curious about. I think it was on sale on Steam this past weekend, but yeah, I'm interested. Best Narrative was Edith Finch. Best Technology was Horizon. Best Visual was Cuphead. Best VR game was Superhot VR. The Audience Award, which I guess was given by the audience, was Nier. Automata. Game of the Year was Zelda.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And the Ambassador Award went to Rami Ismail. Who is that? Name's very familiar. I got to look that up real quick. And then the Lifetime Achievement Award went to Tim Schafer.
Yay. What? The game that the guys from Myst did, their last one. What was it?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I was reading some stuff here.
The guys from Myst, their last game. Sorry,
Abduction.
Abduction. Yeah. That's a part of the Humble Bundle.
It
right
is.
Now.
Yes, it is. Let me look up the Humble Bundle for this week.
It's the Humble Jumbo 11 Bundle.
You said Rami Ismail?
Yes.
Vlambeer?
Yeah.
Studios?
Yeah.
Him and Jan Willem Nijman? Yeah.
Let's see. Here's the Jumbo sale. What do you get in the Jumbo sale? Humble Jumbo Bundle 11, Domina, Kingdom New Lands, Rusty Lake Roots, Tropico 5,
yeah,
and a bunch of DLC, N++, which is good, Orwell, that's good, I've got that game.
Is that any good?
I should play it.
Okay.
Look, and if you pay 15 or more, you will get Abduction plus all those other games.
That's some good scores on Gorogoa.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, 10 out of 10 on Steam, 4.7 out of 5.
So it's a puzzle game.
iTunes, 4.6 out of 5 on GOG.com.
I don't get that excited about either puzzle games or racing games. Yeah, no, it's a puzzle game.
So one of the games that I've had in my library for a little bit that, you know, I actually decided to play a little bit of, and I forgot to mention, you know, when we were talking about what we played earlier, Layers of Fear.
Mm-hmm.
I played a little bit more of that. And that's kind of creepy and cool all the same. You're a painter who apparently has gone in nutso, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing it's probably the turn of the 19th century. It feels around that time, you know. And you're in your house mansion. And as you go through rooms, if you turn back around, go back, it's a different room. So, like, the rooms are always changing. You know, when you go, like, just because, you know, you were just in this one room, if you go back into it, it might not be the same.
I want to say there was a movie like that recently. I think it was one with Helen Mirren. Some rich family.
Oh, it was Winchester.
The Winchester, yeah, Winchester, yeah. Something like that.
Oh, isn't that about the Winchester Mansion? Where, I mean, that's a, yeah.
It was the lady that built it, yeah.
Yeah,
it was,
have you heard about that?
It was an odd mansion, that's what I hear about it.
She thought that as long as she kept on building to it, you know, then, you know, I think her dead husband would, you know.
Have a spot.
Yeah.
You know, something like
and
that.
And so
yeah.
There's like stairwells that go to nowhere. There's just random doors to nothingness. There's like schizophrenic house, really. Yeah. It's insane. But yeah. Yes. Mm. But yeah, this Layers of Fear, it's creepy and fun.
So you said creepy cool. So it's like scary, but not so much so that you just want to put it down and step away for a minute.
It's got that atmosphere, kind of like a Amnesia had, without like that monster that was, you know, sort of like wandering around. But definitely has that atmosphere. You know, it's like rainy night, and it's, you know, you hear the creaks, and like, you know, you go into a dark room and you turn around, and like all of a sudden there's a painting there that wasn't there before, or you know, like there's stuff that happens. You know, like a knife gets thrown, then you turn, you know, you don't know where it was from, and I mean, it's definitely some stuff to it.
Okay.
But you know, I'm playing it with my headphones on in the dark room, and you know, a couple of times I'm like, all right, let me just slowly go forward, because it's kind of creeped me out. But I'm enjoying it. Okay. You know, I like to be scared every now and then. So I've been enjoying that game.
Good.
I think it was pretty cheap, too.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just fixing some stuff here. Had some... man, I did it again. No, there's some spot issues here that I'm trying to work out while I'm actually on the air, which is... not something I should be doing.
Professional.
Right? Yeah, I know. But I'm trying to get it all squared away so that we don't play.
Never stopped you before, though.
I just have to pay attention to the actual station duties and stupid responsibilities. Let's see. What else do we have? There's a rumor, I think, that the next Assassin's Creed game due out next year takes place in Greece.
Greece, huh?
Yes.
I thought it was going to be something else.
The next Assassin's Creed is reportedly well into development. It will be taken seriously to Greece for the first time, according to a new report. Ancient Greece was going to be the setting of the next Assassin's Creed game for PC, PS4, Xbox One. The report indicates that last year's Origins was initially planned to include Greece, but they later decided to give Greece its own game.
There's an area up in northern, the northwest part of the map, that has very Grecian smack to it. You know, they have a Colosseum, and they have, like, you know, it's very heavily influenced by the Greeks, so I could see that.
Yeah. So there is that rumor. Also, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered is going to be a real thing, which is fine. Who cares? I really don't on those. This will be one that, well, I don't have it. Is it going to be in a video? What's the thing? We're supposed to... There's the 10 best-selling indie games on Nintendo Switch, but they don't list it. Well, okay. SteamWorld Dig 2, Stardew Valley, Kimiko, Celeste, Fast RMX, Golf Story, Enter the Gungeon, Overcooked, NBA Playgrounds, and Shovel Knight Treasure Trove.
I heard something was coming out on the Switch that got me really interested in. Now I'm trying to remember what it was.
They had the Nindie Showcase this past week, which just was a bunch of independent games being released on Switch. I've got the full list. I'm not going to go over them, though. We talked about Sea of Thieves in the first 48 hours, had 1 million players. And trust me, the server, you could tell that when trying to connect to a game that first day.
I got booted a couple of times.
Yeah. Oh, they unlocked every single hero in Star Wars Battlefront 2. Now.
Too late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, really. I think Nab in the comment at the beginning of the show is asking, you know, if, has anyone played Battlefront 2 since the update? And I'm like, no, I played the single player campaign, enjoyed that, and left it alone.
Yeah,
that's what I got the game for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, now they've unlocked everything. It's a little late. I agree.
Yeah.
And it still apparently has major issues.
Nintendo announced that they're going to hold a Smash Brothers Switch tournament. In okay. June at E3, they always do a tournament in during the E3 thing. They did ARMS last year.
I remember what game's coming out for the Switch that I really want.
Okay.
Flashback.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's coming with like a special, I think, a steelbook.
The steelbooks for the Switch games are really
small.
Yeah, they're tiny. Little tiny
steelbooks. Well, the
games are tiny. I know. I like
did you ever play Flash? I didn't mean to interrupt. I'm sorry. My brain just popped.
Flashback?
In. Yeah, back in the Super NES Genesis day.
It's not ringing a bell now.
Oh, that was a really good platformer. Really, you know, I really enjoyed that.
That thing that looked like Prince of Persia?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's called Flashback?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the sequel to it was Fade to Black. Mm-hmm. And they went like 3D isometric, you know, polygonal, like, but this is back in like mid-90s.
Oh, the cover box. Yeah. I recognize the cover.
Yeah.
I recognize
you have
the cover
amnesia. I think your name was like Connor or something. And you have amnesia, and so you just like wake up on this planet, and you're trying to get back and get your memories back.
Yeah,
but yeah, I played that back in the day, and I really liked that game.
Yeah, I do recognize the
it's
box
like the
art.
15th anniversary, I think, something like that.
Oh, nice! Yeah, I'm looking at the remastered. Wow, that's a pretty looking platformer on the remastered. When was this uploaded? In 2014. I mean, I think this is the same thing.
So it was first released in 92?
Yeah.
Looks really nice.
But yeah, Kotaku had a thing about, then, you know, it's coming out for an anniversary.
Then Flashback had a remake in 2013.
Yeah, this is a remaster that I'm looking at here. I'm going to post it in the chat room so people can see it. Mm-hmm. This is the animation on this is really, really good.
I thought the animation in the original was really, really good
as
well.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the remaster right now. So, I mean,
Yeah, but the one back in 92 had good animation for its day, right? Is that what the general consensus about it? Yeah, very good animation for its day.
Nice. That will be something to pick up. But what it seems to be is that we will know what Smash Brothers looks like come usually as you normally would, E3, for that tournament. So
salty folks out there.
Well, they've been wanting to get their at least their eyes on it. What else do we have? Defiance closed beta, the resurgence of Defiance, which was a game that preceded Destiny that James and I both played. And when we saw Destiny, we were like, that looks a lot like Defiance. At least some of the aspects that they were trying to do with that game. And so they're doing a revamp of that. Defiance 2050 is going to be an overhaul of the original with upgraded graphics, textures, and resolutions. And the beta for that will be held in April, which is not that far away, obviously. So, all right. Well, it's time for us to take a break. And when we come back, it is time to discuss more of our D&D game that is taking place on the next episode. Next Saturday, we're going to be playing D&D for the entirety of the episode, straight through the whole thing with only one single break in the action. I say action. I don't know how action-filled it's going to be. So we're going to be doing that, and coming up next, we'll talk more about that. I think you're going to talk about story stuff? Yeah, he's nodding his head. Our game master is here, and he's going to go over everything with us. And what else were we going to go over? I don't know. We brought our character sheets, and we'll talk about that some more as well. That is all coming up in the next segment. We've got more in-game chat right after this. Here is music from an old Wii game. Any game that's from the Wii would be an old Wii game. It was on the Wii, and it had some piratey aspects to it. It's Zack and Wiki.
I was hoping for Wind Waker.
It was not really pirate themed. You were what? You had a ship on. You were on a ship. You were
Zelda
on.
Zelda was a pirate.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, she was.
Was she? Wait. Yeah.
She was a pirate. Tetra.
Was she? No.
Yeah.
Maybe she was.
She was.
Well, I never really considered it a pirate game when you played as Link, but you were on a ship.
And you get buried treasure under the sea.
You did, but you didn't get to steal other people's treasure. You had no cannons. There was
no... That's Link, but Tetra had cannons.
Right.
Anyways.
Anyway, so this is music from that, and we'll be back with more in Game Chat after this. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Scott, along with RJ and Matt, and we welcome our Game Master Joshua here, who you can't see, I think, on the cameras. Don't worry, we will reveal his face next week when he's here for the entire show instead of just the final segment here. This is music, by the way, from, of course, Assassin's Creed Black Flag. The track is called The High Seas. In case you couldn't tell, this is all just pirate-themed. That was basically
the theme.
Yeah, I know. What? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
You thought it was tracks that aren't Secret of Monkey Island. Yes.
That seems to be like every theme.
That's every single theme we do each week. This is music that's not from Monkey Island for 100, Alex. Yeah, so. All right. What did you... last week after the show, we all went downstairs and worked on our character sheet. We got pretty much all of it filled out. There's some stuff left for all of us to fill out, like the personality traits of our character, the ideals, the bonds, and the flaws, things that we're going to fill out just to kind of flesh out the character of who it is that we're playing. And then we're going to actually play the game. Is there a... when you talk about games like this where you're rolling dice and you're playing, you know, based off stuff like this, is there a... I think in the minds of some people and who may not be familiar with this, when we're talking about playing tabletop or playing something like this, is there turns? Mm-hmm. You know? And who goes first? How do you determine who goes first? What's the way that all that works?
Okay, so what you do is you're gonna see something on your character sheet called initiative, and when you're not in combat, it's kind of free for all. Mm-hmm. Unless your game master calls and says, okay, we're going to stop because everyone wants to do a bunch of stuff at one time. We're going to roll the dice. We're going to roll what's called initiative, and it's the dice plus the bonus that you get and what comes out of it, and higher number means you go first.
Okay. What, is it a 20?
Mm-hmm. It's a d20.
Okay, so if I like roll a 18, I get a plus 2, and you roll a 18, you get a plus 3, you would go before me.
Right, yep. Right, right. Okay, I understand that aspect, and maybe we'll do that a few times. Mm-hmm. I think, again, we're going to be against a clock here.
And he'll be like, no, roll for initiative. Like something like pops up, you'll be like, all right, everybody, roll for initiative. We all roll. All right, I got this. Bam, you go first, you go second, you go third. Kind of
right.
Like that.
So the best way to explain it is, has anyone played Final Fantasy Tactics?
Yes.
Yes, it's like that. Pokemon speed rating.
No.
It's going to be tough with me on some of that. It's a turn-based game. No, it's
I don't do the turn-based. I'm not big on the turn-based RPGs in gaming, in video gaming, because I don't like that aspect of, like, I don't want to wait. Why do I need to sit around while they're attacking me? I want to dodge. I want to move. I want to, you know, it was always a very difficult concept for me to wrap my head around playing turn-based strategy games or turn-based combat in video games, because I was like, this is not, no.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, in video games, of course, you have this turn-based structure. There's the infamous scene, Dragon Ball Z Abridged, where one of the characters is like, it's his turn. I have to wait for him. Mm. I just got attacked, I attacked. Now it's his turn. I have to wait. But in Dungeons & Dragons, everything that is done in a round, which is everyone's turn, the end of everyone's turn, that is a round, everything happens at the same time.
Yeah.
But what you're doing is you're kind of setting an order so that it's not mad chaos at the table. But everything happens in the same 6 seconds. And then in the new round, it's another 6 seconds.
Think of it kind of like the Fallout VAT system.
Yes, yeah. Very much VATS-ish.
I don't know. Do you think that's something that that we should, you know, nix and just be like, okay, we're just going to go in the order, you know, in some sort of order so that we can move that along faster?
Well, if it'll make you feel better, I have an automatic initiative tracker that will just kind of...
We might do something like that, yeah.
Round robin's a good thing. Also, the enemy rolls initiative as well, so it would kind of hurt to do it round robin.
No, I understand.
Cause then
I want to play the game like you're supposed to play it, but I also want to keep it...
Within the 2 hours?
Yeah, because it's too, you know, we have less than 2 hours.
Yes.
I mean, it's not a full 2 hours that we're going to get to play this thing, so we have less than that to play.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, so that's just my concern, as though, is like,
after I serenade you guys with my songs, you will have even less time after that.
And by the way, just so you know, this game doesn't have to come to a finish. And I know that you understand that as a GM, but as far as what the experiment that we're going to be doing next week, we don't have to get to the end of it and say, hey, the game's over. You can, you know, leave them wanting more is always good.
Yeah.
So if it
hopefully
gets,
they will want more.
If it gets to a point where it's like, time's up. This is where we leave our group here, and then, you know, that's perfectly fine depending on where we get to with this thing. So
if we do have to stop, I'm reserving the right though to do like the Saturday morning dramatization at the end, where it's like, will our heroes survive?
No, you're
out next time.
You're the GM.
Same bat channel. Same bat time.
We shouldn't have a problem though, because probably what'll happen, since we are taking a break at the top of the round, based on how I have everything
that'll give
set
you
up,
an idea of how that first hour went, so you can figure out how to abridge the second hour.
Well, what we're probably going to do during that break, we'll go ahead and take care of initiative, and then everyone will just say their initiative scores once we get back.
Mm-hmm.
Once you really get the hang of it, initiative is pretty fast. It's more of a game master skill than it is a player skill, because the player, it's just roll the dice, add the number. But a game master has to do things like they have to factor in... just how to write it down, because it can take a while if you write in everyone's full name. But once you get used to the characters, you can shorthand it with like one or two letters.
And we're all going by our names, so
it should be pretty simple.
So, you know.
And just for anybody who's not familiar with it, that might be just listening because you just keep the station on, this is not some... Normally when you play a game like this, it would take a lot longer than the amount of time that we're going to try and squeeze it in next week. And that's actually the point. Is to just, you know, have one afternoon where you're just relaxing with friends, or an evening when you're just relaxing with friends and play. Think of it as a very extended game of Monopoly, a game that really never...
Or just an abridged game of Monopoly.
Yeah, that just never finishes, but you do have a lot of fun while you're playing it. And that's kind of the what you'll be experiencing, I guess, a little bit of.
Well, to go into the idea of just how much fun D&D can be, I had two stories I wanted to really briefly tell.
Yeah, and I would like you, if you've got it ready, I would like you to kind of give an idea of the story that we'll be telling next week as well. But go ahead.
Like a trailer.
Yeah. Go ahead with go ahead with yours.
While I'm doing that, I'll be explaining. Give me one sec.
Okay. Yeah, he's reaching into his bag of something.
I got it.
Bag of holding.
It is just about a bag of holding at this point. The story that I was going to tell, not this one, we'll get to this one in a moment, but the story I want to tell, the one that everyone at my table insisted that I tell, is the story called Your Honors, Thank Goodness You're Here.
Mm-hmm.
And the story goes, our party at the time was looking for this evil organization that had been threatening this town, and they had a contact in a tavern that they went to go visit. Well, this organization threw an armored elephant at them. And by the organization, I meant me, the GM.
Mm-hmm.
And
is this like Monty Python catapult kind of a thing?
I was going to say more JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. There was just like 1 week that's like 5 seconds before we close. I'm like, oh, yeah, this elephant busts into the wall or busts through the wall and comes charging at you. And then the next week we went straight into combat. Well, some fighting ensued. Some people exploded. And our wizard by the name of Adrin, who he was chaotic crazy, which is not a normal alignment. It is a very rare alignment to get chaotic crazy. Usually it's chaotic neutral, but no, he was chaotic crazy. He decides, I'm going to plant this magic explosive inside the elephant. And he got a ton of damage, and the elephant exploded everywhere. About that time, the authorities come rushing in, and they start arresting people on site. And the wizard immediately goes, Your Honors, thank goodness you're here. We were just sitting here enjoying this perfectly normal meal when this elephant charged in, said something, and exploded. It was really scary. We're very glad you're here. We could have died in there. So I had him roll a what is called a deception check to see how well his lie was. It was pretty good.
Okay.
And the counter, because who they were talking to, unbeknownst to them, was not just a regular NPC, which is when I would set a default number, but it was actually a non-played character that was actually important to the story. So I rolled the dice on that because I had a character sheet for him and everything. And he rolled pretty poorly. So now the entire city began a citywide manhunt looking for a crime syndicate that was using explosive elephants, which made a really effective patsy when the party unfortunately leveled two city blocks because of a sewer explosion.
Okay.
And all this based on the roll of the dice.
All of this based on the roll of the dice and the creativity of the players. And he, unfortunately, the player that was playing that wizard was not able to stay in the party, but he had another, we had another person come in who played a wizard, and he was a completely different kind of wizard. So there were two different wizards. They were both the same school. They both had the same stats on paper, but they were two completely different people. We had the chaotic, crazy Adrin, and then this other player, his name was Andrew, and he played a character called Gideon Wild of the Waterdeep Wilds. And I did my best to impersonate his accent. And I apologize.
Okay.
But to explain how off the rails this game can get, I had this city of orcs that they were supposed to investigate. And the party split up because they both had different ideas of what they needed to do at that exact moment. And our wizard's like, nah, I'm going to go explore this city. Well, he ended up getting caught, convincing the orcs that he was not a wizard, but was in fact a traveling musician, becoming the shield brother of the orc war chieftain, established an orc city. The party eventually made negotiations with a local, with another kingdom for land rights, and changed the, not only named the city, but changed the theme song of the city to Jingle Jangle Jingle. Which, yeah. And it, when really creative minds get into D&D, it is amazing what can happen. It is absolutely amazing. So I have here the opening to our campaign.
Okay.
And I will get my voice a little bit lower because when I'm
narrating, oh, you want to do that. You want to theatric it?
Yes, I want
to. Okay. You want to dramatize the thing?
Yes,
I don't have
absolutely.
Any. I don't think I have any kind of music that I could.
That's all right.
That I could play, that I know of. Let's see. What do we have here? I got Benny Hill.
Let's not.
I don't think that'll work.
That's for if combat goes really, really bad.
What, Yakety Sax?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I got that.
That's where if combat goes really bad.
No? Okay. None of that'll work?
Somebody
no.
rolled a one.
What is...
No. Someone... Something Lord of the Rings-ish, but no, I'll just go ahead. No.
No?
Are we getting married?
I don't know.
What was that?
That's church music.
What was that Need for Speed car, but it sounded like the Renaissance
No, that
fair.
Was Poker Face.
It was, but it was on an organ.
That was Poker Face on an organ. I don't know, you got something like orchestral grand?
No. Nothing? Okay.
No, it's fine.
That's all we've got.
it's
fine. I mean, there's a bunch of other things, but none of them are going to fit at all.
Yeah, no. Don't worry about it. So, on the continent of Hithlind, the kingdom of Arlene stands north of the Emerald Caps, a mountain range separating the kingdom of Arlene from the rest of the Hithlind continent. The city of Arlene is over 1 million strong of varying races. Humans enact the majority of the governmental structure within the city. The dwarves handle a large portion of the mining operation, and the other races fill in with their specialties. The Emerald Caps are known to you, all of you, for their the sheen that they give off twice a year. Once in the year, it is an indicator that the is known as the frost, wherein the wintry months are coming and everyone has to prepare. There is another darker greenish hue that the Emerald Caps give off that signifies the thaw. Your party, being heavily injured heavily hurt by this recent strong winter, has found themselves in dire straits. The winter has been particularly cold, and so to make ends meet, you have joined up with a local guild that is filling in because of recent issues that occurred south of the kingdom. The majority of the Arlenian military is away. So you've done things like patrols, you have helped keep the peace, you have done odd jobs here or there that the normal guard would do. And as the dark greenish hue of the thaw of the Emerald Caps echoed across the city, there was a joyous cry. And 1 month later, the city and the kingdom remains frozen solid. Panic has started to set in. Different organizations are blaming different things. The local arcane wizards are clueless. They suspect that the arcane weave is corrupted. The nature magics, the druids, blame the kingdom for the over-harvesting of the natural resources. The local clergy believe that the different pantheons are being attacked and have, as a result, opened their facilities for victims of the cold, but it's not enough. The merchants, of course, blame the wizards' meddling, as they always do. The night before you all set into your adventure, you receive a summons from your local guildmaster, Vincent Elwyn. And he has an assignment for you to help reduce some of the panic in the city. And that is where we'll pick up next week.
Just found what I was looking for. and now I can't use it. So that's what I was going to... Well, you were doing that, but I couldn't use it. I found it, and then I couldn't use it. So anyway, that's the lead-in for the story of what we're going to have for next week.
So people be cold.
And then it'll go from there into wherever.
Cold, panic, pointing fingers.
Where we decide to take it, where you decide to take it.
That's up to
y'all. Yeah.
Wherever you go, you will wake up that morning, your summons received. You will go into the guildmaster's office. You will receive your mission, and you will act accordingly. You are expected to act accordingly as representatives of the guild.
Yeah, by the way.
I'm not just going to go to the tavern and start drinking mead.
There might be a tavern.
We got about 6 minutes left. Is there anything else before we wrap things up and do this thing next weekend?
I will say that I plan to try and hit some of the high points of playing Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not going to throw anything too complex, but at the same time, y'all should probably keep your wits about you. Keep your real world logic in play. A lot of people, when they play video games, they have a total suspension of disbelief, and there's jokes the internet over about MMORPG or different kinds of storylines that make absolutely zero sense. If something doesn't make sense, you might want to question it. You never know where it's going to lead.
Okay.
Any other questions?
I know. Does anybody have any questions? I mean, I know we're gonna hang around after the show's over.
Look at the chat here, see if anyone says anything.
Yeah, we're gonna hang on after the show's over and go over a little bit of how we're gonna position cameras and get everything set up for the show next week as to how we want to do that. But this is something that for me and RJ we are brand new to.
Mm-hmm.
I have honestly never even watched a game of this being played. I only know about it from listening to people talk about playing those games.
Yeah, I'm hearing these terms that I've never never associated with
term?
Dungeons & Dragons, like roll for initiative.
Yes.
Okay. Right.
It's Dungeons & Dragons, okay.
Rolling in, yeah, that's Dungeons & Dragons.
The whole lawful, neutral, evil, chaotic,
I'll go over the alignments real quick, actually,
yeah,
to make sense. The lawful alignments... lawful good, lawful neutral, lawful evil, means that you adhere to local law or you adhere to some kind of creed or some kind of something that's not just your personal decision, some kind of order that has been established for you. Neutral good, neutral, and neutral evil is your personal choices. So, for instance, you could be part of the local guard. You could follow the laws to the best of your abilities. But if you follow the laws because they make sense to you and not just because it's the law, you're not lawful good, you're neutral good. Because sometimes the laws might change and then you might not agree with them. That puts you in the neutral good territory because you're still a good person trying to do good things. And then you have chaotic. Chaotic don't care. That's the best way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Chaotic does not care one bit. What other people tell him to do, he will do his own thing. And whenever someone throws chaotic neutral into the mix, you get exploding elephants. Mm-mm. That's the best way to put it. You get some very, very crazy things that occur. And some of the best stories I have are from chaotic neutral things. Because the paladin, the bastion of good and holiness, will always have some heroic deed and will shine at it amazingly. The neutral rogue will always try to find some way to profit off of something. But it's when you get into the chaotic people and things get a little unpredictable that things can get fun.
Nabokov is asking in the chat room, what do you realistically need to be able to play this game? How do you learn it without a guide or a tutor or an experienced DM?
So the best way to get into D&D is the Dungeons & Dragons starter set, which is like $20. It's in a box. It's as cheap as most board games you're going to find. It has an adventure. It has some basic rules. Barring that, there is something called the source reference documents online that can pretty much tell you all the major rules you need to get started. And it's definitely doable to do for free. If you don't want to buy dice, there are dice apps on your phone. There is a service called Roll20 that is for free, and it's online. And they even have dice mechanics in them, too. If you want to start building a story, the best way I can put it is start writing the story. And once you have a basic idea of what you want to do with your story, look at the mechanics in Dungeons & Dragons and say, okay, what can I do from there? As you start getting into more advanced materials, you're going to want to buy the books, which range anywhere from $30 to $50. I highly recommend at least the Player's Handbook and the Dungeon Master's Guide.
Mm-hmm.
If you need information on monsters, there is a monster manual. However, there is a lot of material online. And you can always, always go to places like, I want to say it's called Giant in the Playground. It's a website that is popular for a Dungeons & Dragons comic that they do. And just ask for help. There's people everywhere.
Yeah.
We exist. We're around here. We just don't like talking about it too much because it makes other people feel weird because they have no clue what we're talking about.
Which is
exploding elephants, for example.
Yeah. Like, if I just told my coworker, so my wizard blew up an elephant last night, I'm probably going to get looked at like...
HR.
Yeah, HR might have a couple of words for me.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you again, Josh, and we will do that next week. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room. Thanks, everybody, listening. Thanks to everybody who showed up in the chat room. Nabokov fan hasn't been there in forever, and he's back, so we really appreciate that. Thanks to everybody for who gets our show on iTunes each week, or if you get it from YouTube, whatever the case. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe to our Twitch channel, all the other groups that we've got all over the place to sign up for and join us with those as well. We really appreciate it. And again, our D&D episode is next week. It is a one-time thing for experimentation purposes. And if it goes well, we'll do it, you know, sparsely throughout the year, maybe two or three times during the year or something like that, depending on how well it goes. But we just want to try it, give it a shot. It's fun to experiment with things like this and see what happens. It may fail, and that is perfectly fine, but you never know unless you try and see what you can come up with. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Leave you now with this piece from Sea of Thieves once again. It is called Becalmed, and I believe it's one of the shanties that you actually do play in the game itself. So have a great week, everybody, and we will see you next Saturday for our Dungeons & Dragons episode.